It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Found a shot of power cut. That's amazing. Can you hear me, gents? Hello, everybody. My name's James. Welcome to another Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents. And we're looking forward to an important fixture in blank game week 26. Firstly, let me introduce you to our Manchester United correspondent, Gary Robinson. How are you, Gary?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, mate. And our Fulham correspondent, Dara Curran's in. How are you, Dara?
I'm very good. Thanks, James. Guten Abend.
Good in our bench, yes, indeed. We are pre-recording on Monday evening, just in case, you know, Manchester United decide to play the release clause very quickly for Dan Ashworth on gardening leave. Gary, what's all that about?
Well, it sounds a bit petty, but I suppose it's the way football's gone, hasn't it? These directors of football, or, you know, whatever his title might be, they're all in high demand, aren't they? And yeah, you end up with this to and fro, you know, whether what to do with him. I mean, if he wants, suppose he's treating him like a player, doesn't he? If he wants to leave, then there's probably not a lot Newcastle can do, really. They're not going to pay him for another 2 years, are they? So, yeah, bit of an odd one. I think it's reassuring that United are trying to hire these type of people now. But whether they're all worth this much hassle, they've obviously already got the lad from City and talks getting Jason Wilcox in. So I don't know how many of these types and how these all work together. But and if they can turn United around and how that fits into what money the Glazers want to spend, I don't know. But I think for now, in the short term, just reassuring that they're trying to hire those type of people.
It sounds like a football plan might be coming together.
Yeah, it might be, but to what end? Because, again, it's all get all these type of people in, but if the Glazers say we don't want to spend any money in the summer, then it does still restrict what they can do. And it don't matter how many good players you've got on your laptop. You know, if the money's not there, the money's not there, is it? So that's probably a question for the summer, isn't it? We won't see the fruits of that until maybe this time next year, if that. But yeah, I think just the only thing you can take at the minute is at least they're trying to hire someone like an Ashworth or an equivalent. And if it doesn't end up being Ashworth, then at least it's reassuring that they went to try and get him rather than not hiring, you know, a director of football or CEO or all the different roles that they might end up giving him.
I think for you, Gary, it was clear he wasn't going to do anything in the January transfer window, really, because of the takeover. For you, Dara, it became a scramble at the end. And the big headline of deadline day, which I think gave us an indication of how quiet the window was, you obviously got Armando Breuer in on loan, but we've hardly seen him so far.
Yeah, he was ill at the weekend. I thought we probably would have seen a little bit more of him up until now, but the headlines have been mainly on another striker who's stepped up to the plate and doesn't want to give up the spot, which is good as well, I suppose.
Is it a case with Muniz that this is why he's scoring, he stays in the team? And as soon as he doesn't, it will change.
Now, he's probably done enough to stay in the team. I don't see why you'd oust him when his form's been so good in the last three games or so. There's stipulations in the Brohud deal, which we may end up paying more money. But I think if you've got our own player that's performing well, then why don't you probably favour him to start over a loanee who's possibly going to be gone in the summer.
Am I right in saying with the Brohud deal, the less he plays, the more you pay? Is that how this works?
Yeah, I think he needs to play 50% of the games remaining, and then we don't pay anything. And if he pays less than that, we pay 4 million, which still isn't like a terrible deal when they were looking for 50 million at one point in January.
Okay. Gary, I've been asked by others, and you know what's coming in terms of Gary. He's always moaning about Maguire and McTominay. And I thought with these three wins in a row and Maguire's good performance at Villa Park, you'd be, I've got to put you under real pressure. And then I watched him on Sunday at Luton, and he's suddenly
yeah,
Villa
precisely.
Park. Again,
and everyone
it?
Goes, oh, that's why people think he's shit, because he's shit.
But he had been, I mean, he really had some sloppy moments in that first half and was taken off. Like, I think maybe as part in terms of the yellow card and Casemiro's yellow card not helping the situation as well.
Yeah,
he has been playing well, really, though, hasn't he, Harry Maguire?
He played well in the return fixture, didn't he? I think he was man of the match, and probably shouldn't have played because I think he was concussed, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He's had some decent performances, like you say, and he's given the man of the match against Aston Villa the week before. I thought we were quite outplayed in that match, if I'm honest, but that wasn't Maguire's fault necessarily. I think where the sort of the debate or the nuance comes in is that if you're just watching him from an FPL point of view and you see he's 4.2 and ticking over, and with, you know, he had some clean sheets against Everton and Luton and that performance against Fulham. But if you're a United fan, you know, we've watched him where he played in the Champions League, where Copenhagen put 4 past us. And Galatasaray put 3 past us, and when we got knocked out of the League Cup by Newcastle at home, and they put 3 past us. And Maguire played all of those matches and was dreadful in all of those matches. You know, he was dreadful against Bournemouth. So whilst he's been having some good performances and sort of where you go, oh, yeah, he probably looks like a solid squad member, and or it's, you know, a bit unfair and still an England player. There's been the performances in the matches, the bigger matches where the Champions Leagues or the knockout League Cup ties or Man City at home, we've been beaten 3s and 4s and been humiliated. And that's the worry, that, look, it's all right in playing well against, you know, the bottom 14, say. But as England fans, if we want to do anything in the summer, if United fans, we want to get back to title contenders, which is laughable at the minute, but that's what we're aiming for. Harry Maguire is not good enough to be there, and it's not a slight on him. But we've all seen it with our eyes the last, when we were buying, 5 years, is it now? 6 years? I can't remember when we bought him. We all know he's not good enough. And the odd performance here and there where you think, oh, he's improved a bit, he's not quite solid there. You know what's coming. He was given man of the match against Villa last Sunday, and then gets absolutely battered to bits yesterday and has to be subbed off at half-time against Luton Town. So you know what's coming. So that's the problem with him. It's not a vendetta. He's just,
that's
not
exactly
good
the
enough,
word I was
going to
use. It's not a vendetta.
Yeah, it's not, though, is it? There's, you know, it's not. If he'd have had 30 good performances in a row and we were second in the league, I'd be the first one to go, he's turned it around. But he hasn't done that. He's had a couple of good performances, then we lose 4-3 to Copenhagen. He gets man of the match against Aston Villa, then has to be dragged off at half time because Carlton Morris is giving him the runaround. You know, so it is what it is, unfortunately. He's inconsistent, and when he's at his best, he can be a good player, but his worst is he's not good enough anymore. And I think for the best for everyone, he just moves on in the summer.
Darryl, would you take him?
No.
No, don't, genuinely, you don't think you'd get in your team?
No, I don't think so.
Sure, you're probably going to be looking for a centre back in the summer, aren't you? If Van Rubio doesn't sign up,
we probably will do. But the way we've been playing this season, we've kind of had a bit of a high line, and I think he tends to come out and go missing and like just leave big gaps. So I don't think he'd suit us at all.
Yeah, no, fair.
You can't play high line. If you play Harry Maguire, you can't play high line. You know, you end up playing 20 yards deeper, and you know, you've got to make sacrifices in other ways. So, yeah.
Would Scott McTominay get in your team, Zara?
I would take McTominay, absolutely.
Gary? Go on, ask him how much.
For McTominay?
Yeah, how much do you want? Dara's paying.
Oh, Don't know. What have you got down the back of that sofa, Dara? 6 quid will do us.
I've got a maybe a pog and a stick of bubble gum.
Hang on, right. In fairness, has Ten Hag not found a little niche for him where he can be a bit of a box crasher at the end of games and has scored some important goals for you? Yes or no?
Yeah, there's a super sub launching it. Yeah, that's fine, but he's not a central midfielder in the Premier League. So, if Fulham need someone to a super sub to, like you say, crash the box in the last 5-10 minutes, then great. But if they need a central midfielder who can pass and tackle, then Scott McTominay is not your man, unfortunately.
Okay. Dara, when you come on the pod, it feels like we always have to do this. We talk about the importance of Joao Paulinho. He's hit the 10 yellow card mark just in time, mate.
That was inevitable.
2-game ban. He's obviously going to miss this at the weekend. And then Brighton at home. That's 2 terrible games for him to miss as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, look, it is what it is. We knew it was going to come at some point. He's just a magnet for yellow cards, whether they're deserved or not. I think it's just sometimes it's the profile of the player, and the referees just have it in their mind that he's a tackle demon and he's going to pick up cards. So yeah, look, that's going to happen. So I'm going to have to figure out who's going to slot in the midfield.
Your record without him is not good, mate.
No, not at all. Not at all. No.
For the benefit of the audio listeners, Dara smiled.
Isn't good either.
But I could see through the smile, the pain in his voice, thinking, yeah, this is going to be a difficult couple of weeks. What is the solution then in his absence?
I mean, realistically, you can't probably have Kearney, who was one of the players in there. It could be, I mean, one of the solutions could be play Iwobi and Reid, because Iwobi played in the AFCON. He played that kind of deeper role. And it also gives you the option to switch it up if we do need to attack it at moments. He's got that. I think just Kearney doesn't quite have the defensive attributes that you might need alongside another midfielder who doesn't tackle as much as Paulinho does. So, well,
no one tackles in the whole league. No one tackles as much
as Anthony Robinson, maybe.
As much as Paulinho does. But without him, I get that. Someone like Kearney is almost going to be less useful for you because you need to make up for the lack of legs of
Paulinho. Yeah, realistically, we're not going to have the ball as much. And that's fine. If we do have the possession, then that's where Kearney is good for dictating the play, but yeah, realistically, we're probably not going to have as much of the ball.
So, Gary, Fulham have the 19th best record away from home at the 20 teams. This is going to be 5 wins in a row, isn't it?
19th best, was that, or worst, did you say? Sorry.
Well, I was doing Dara the courtesy of saying 19th best.
Yeah.
It's the second worst, isn't it?
Right, I see what you mean, right. Yeah, you would think so. Yeah, you would think so. But especially if Paulinho's out, because like you've just said, you know, the rate dramatically drops, isn't it? So you think so? And like I say, the results have picked up recently. Not that convinced if the performances have matched it as much as it looks like. So you would like to think, given that we've, apart from Martinez, we look like we're pretty much full strength, I suppose. It depends what's happened to Shaw, maybe. Yeah, you'd like to think so, but I've said it a million times, you can never tell with this lot, can you? Because, you know, this form and this run of results, it can turn as quickly as it started, because it's not born out of anything.
When we last spoke before you went to Wolves, we went through your previous 10 games and we went, good performance, bad performance, good performance, bad performance. Right, well, you've now won 4 in a row, or are you still of the, it's 5 wins in 10? Like, where do you sit on this?
It is 4 in a row, but I suppose it's even those 4 wins you go, I mean, the Wolves, the first hour maybe, we played really, really well against a really good side, Wolves. And then, you know, nearly threw that away. West Ham, I mean, we won 3-0, but West Ham would probably say didn't play that badly, maybe. Villa were probably the better side, I would say. And yesterday, Luton must. Look, we could have got four or five more on the counter attack, but Luton will probably feel a bit annoyed to have not come away with anything out of it. So. But...
Yeah, winning at Wolves, it's some really good sides have lost at Wolves this year. Some really good sides have lost at Villa this year.
Yeah.
And Luton have given every top team a proper game at Kenilworth Road that they played. But to win all three of them games, Gary, is good, mate.
No, winning them, of course winning them is good. But, you know, you say Luton have given everyone a good... But, you know, they had 60% possession yesterday and 20 shots. They didn't do that to City and Arsenal, did they? So... The wins are amazing. To win four in a row when it looked like the season was fading into nothing, and like you said, to go to Villa, Luton and Wolves is great. But what it isn't, apart from the Wolves performance, what it isn't born out of is, you know, a new style of play or something's clicked tactically. It's been four wins that, like I say, could easily turn into three defeats in the next four. Do you know what I mean? That's the problem, that you never really feel like they're getting anywhere. You just feel that they're stumbling from week to week.
Do you not feel a bit better about this period, mate? You must do.
Well, yeah, if you win matches, you always feel better, don't you? But if if they play like they played again yesterday for the next five, how many of those five do they win? You know, you can't keep playing like you did against Villa and Luton every week and keep winning. It doesn't happen like that, does it?
Yeah, I mean, the flip is, and I know you. This is where you can always spin your narratives, right? You won very late at Wolves, you won very late at Villa, but actually, the performance at Wolves was outstanding, mate. You should never have been in a position where the game wasn't going to get won.
No, the Wolves performance was outstanding, but like I say, but even then, we found a way to make it difficult for ourselves. So this is what I'm saying, every piece of good thing to cling on to, there's always something immediately that you go, yeah, but, and until they knock that out of the system and string a proper run together, you know, I'm not comparing us to Arsenal at all because we're nowhere near Arsenal at the minute, but Arsenal were looking a bit rocky, weren't they? And they've just won 5-6 on the bounce maybe, and you look at their wins and you go, you can see why, you know, and you think, yeah, they'll probably play the same against Newcastle on Saturday. And then what Sheffield United is, and so on, and Porto, and you go, yeah. You look at United, and you go, yeah, it could continue, but it could the same flip the coin, and it'll be draws and stupid defeats, and you just don't know where you are with it because the losses come out of nowhere and the wins come out of nowhere, and that's my only concern. As great as winning,
but it's also
the Wolves
you're...
back to us.
At the moment, and I realise this isn't what Manchester United want to be doing, but Arsenal are competing with City and Liverpool and have that pressure of knowing they've got to win every game. You're competing with Villa and Tottenham at the moment. It is a difference.
No, it is a difference, yeah, but it wasn't about necessarily comparing them to an Arsenal. It was saying Arsenal's wins. Arsenal will know why they won all of those matches, 4-5, 6-0. United, we could easily perform like we did against Villa and Luton again, and we'll get someone to wipe the floor with us 3-4-0. And that's the problem with it, is that even when we're playing well against the Wolves, that can turn into a 4-3 dogfight. And even when we win matches, you go, can't play like that again. And, you know, we've seen it before. Middle of last season, we looked like we're playing well, and then out of nowhere, you know, you get trounced. You know, so, yeah, it's been a good run, but just always cautious with that lot because you just know that it could flip back the other way out of nowhere.
Fair enough.
I'm not saying that'll start this weekend if against a Paul.
Well, I hope so, because you're getting a bit close to my team and it's starting to bother me now. So yeah, I'm all legs I'm all legs in the Fulham basket this weekend, but I can't say my confidence is high looking at this away record. You've won three in a row away, Gary. Dara's team is the only one that hasn't won an away game since game week one. And I think
and we were lucky to
I was going to say, any Evertonian will tell you were very lucky that day as well. What is that, Dara?
I don't know. That opening day was a real smash and grab. I don't know. Last season, we won against everybody that was below us, that we put like on paper, sort of, that we were expecting to win. And this year is just, we've been a bit Jekyll and Hyde. It's a bit like you're saying, Gary, you don't know where the wins are coming from. You can't predict them. And even like we've beaten Arsenal, we've beaten Bournemouth a couple of weeks ago. I didn't expect anything from that game at all. And that, like, we're pulling out wins where we're not necessarily expecting them. And then slipping up against Burnley was just an absolute kick in the teeth. 2-0 up. I was tearing my hair out. And there was chances to go 3-0 up at some stages and even 3-1 up. And just to let that slip is just a joke. But yeah, I don't know. It's just that the consistency's not quite there. Away form, it's pretty poor.
It's 0.58 points per game in away games, which sounds bad and is not helped by things like that, playing a team that's almost certain to go down and being two up and not winning the game. But that's it. Once you get this United game out the way, Dara, you've then played, I would say, all of the expected top nine away from home. You still have to go to Wolves, you still have to go to West Ham, but then the other away games you've got left are against teams that are below you. So is the away record as bad as it looks, or is it a bit false in the sense you've got some very good away games still to come?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I honestly don't know at this point. I think we've kind of had a lot of little niggly injuries and AFCON and different members of the squad being rotated a little bit. So there hasn't been the consistent starting lineup as well that there had been last season. We've had centre-backs changing around quite a bit. Obviously, the forward line has just changed all the time. So yeah, it's not quite been ideal, but you can't really blame that either at the same time. Like, everybody has their injuries. So yeah, look, we're just going to have to trudge on. I think, I don't know, it's one of those seasons like we're not really in trouble, but we're not pushing for anything either. So there's not, I don't know whether there's an incentive to actually kick on and out of all the cups now.
I said on Monday's pod, and you're the first club I've mentioned it to, that we need to start thinking Fulham Beach. But to caveat that, the away record's obviously bad. Your home record, therefore, has obviously been quite good to keep you out of trouble, because then your away results have been shocking. But then your home games left: Brighton, Tottenham, Newcastle, Liverpool, Manchester City, and Crystal Palace.
Lovely.
Is there concern, or do you feel safe?
I don't feel concern at all. Like, I think what are we on now? 29. Yeah. I think like another 6 points is probably going to be good. And there's potential points deductions or whatever might be coming down the line. Like, I just don't see the form of people below us picking up enough and ours to drop. Like, we'd literally have to be 19th or 18th on form to get dragged into that.
You're a strange team though, aren't you? Because
we are since
that game you lost to United with the late Bruno Fernandes goal, you got beat by Villa at the weekend, which is fair enough. In between that, there's a run of seven home games. You lost one to Burnley. I'm struggling to go figure here, Dara.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on it this year. It's a bit of a funny season, because when we kind of knew around March, April of last year that we were going to stay up, and I was hoping that there would have been another spend in the summer and we could reinforce again and build on what we did, and that didn't. It did happen, but it happened very late, and the planning just felt a bit last minute. And obviously, there's been worries in January about finances and whatnot, and it feels like the club are gambling that they're kind of gone, well, we're not going to go down this year, so we just don't need to outlay any more money. And
I think a lot of clubs have felt that this year, Dara. And yeah, I am playing Jekyll and Hyde a little bit, because I agree with you. I think probably two wins would be more than enough. I think 35 points would probably be enough to stay up. You're on 29. If you're comfortably clear of 1 point per game, you're comfortably safe, to be honest, mate. It's probably just a bit frustrating that you've not kind of kicked on into that group that Manchester United have just got out of, because they're not that far away. I mean, we're saying you're on 29, you're 7 points behind West Ham. West Ham went into the start of the year thinking they could challenge for top four, for example. It's not that far away. It's interesting. Talking of top four, Gary, you're the form horse. Should you take it from here?
Um, Don't know. I mean, Villa look to have, don't want to say gone off the boil, because that's unfair on the season they've had, but you know, they do seem to be struggling a little bit by the standards they set pre-Christmas. Possibly say the same about Tottenham, although obviously you know more, some of that might be unlucky, I don't know. So we've certainly got ourselves in the mix now. I suppose one of we don't play either of you again, do we? So we've already played you both twice now. So there's no sort of head-to-head six-pointer that we can catch you up on. So we are just relying on winning a couple more matches than you both from now until the end. Villa should get to the European final, shouldn't they? So hopefully that would distract them. So yeah, we should be giving it a good go from here. I mean, whether you say we should do it, I still think if Villa can find that form of pre-Christmas, I don't think we'd get to them. But I don't think our fixtures, just even for all I've just said about United and where our wins come from, our fixtures on paper don't look that bad. I think we've still got quite a few of the really difficult ones, but we've got the top three, have we, maybe? And then that group around us, we don't really play anyone, I don't think. Maybe Newcastle at home. So we could do it, but I still think we'd rely on Villa especially. And look, if the top five becomes a possibility, which what we're saying, 70% chance, then, you know, we've got to be right in there. But it could just come down to one mad result or, you know, an injury, whoever has the worst in it. Could be anything, couldn't it? I don't think there'll be a lot between the three of us now.
If you do pull this up and finish fourth, Erik ten Hag will still be manager next season, won't he?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
For the benefit of those on the audio, Gary looks well impressed with that thought.
Yeah, I suppose they'd find it hard to sack him if he went third place, fourth place. Yeah, and especially, you know, if he tacks on a cup run, you know, if we beat Forest next week, then you're already talking quarter final stage, aren't you? So
yeah, and let's be fair, unless they
got someone out there who they know that they want and can transform them.
Let's be fair. Tottenham obviously went through some bad injury problems. Villa have got their own issues now as well. You also went through them. And I think because you're Manchester United, there wasn't quite the focus on it in the same way. Mm. But other than Martinez, and obviously we don't know about Shaw at the moment, it's essentially you're now back to your strongest team, aren't you? I know there's still a few injured, but back to your strongest team, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. I mean, the problem is Martinez is so huge for us because I've just said everything I've said about Maguire, and obviously some people might think I've over-egged that. But what Martinez, obviously defensively a bit more sound, but it's just he just allows us on the ball. He can play a bit higher. I know people rate Maguire on the ball, and I don't think Maguire is that bad on the ball, but Martinez is just so much quicker. He really snaps it through into those midfield spots, whereas Maguire can be a bit ponderous. Maguire will open his body up, take a touch, come back to it, and then he'll play a good pass, whereas Martinez seems to, you know, a bit more 1-2 touch stuff. And I think that, I don't think we're going to get Martinez back for, what, another month?
Yeah, it won't be till after the March international break, certainly, yeah. I don't think.
So it's a long run without him, probably.
Is it as much a Varane problem as a Maguire problem? Varane completed four passes in the first half at Luton at the weekend. That's not right.
Yeah. No, I don't know what was going on yesterday. Well, so, you know, it was just such an odd... We were just went 2-0 up and I don't know what happened, really. It was just like we said to Luton, you can dictate how this game goes. And yeah, but yeah, I don't know how Varane only gets through four passes. I mean... anyone who's obviously you do your Sky stats all the time, anyone who plays a Sky game, them Luton, away at Luton for centre backs has been like 90s, 100s, hasn't it?
It has changed last couple of months, but even still,
yeah,
four passes completed for a centre back, especially when you've got yourself into a lead, a 2-goal advantage so early as well.
Know, yeah, they should just be knocking it around and having it back off the midfielders and rotating the ball, and just couldn't get anything going.
Very strange. All right, let's talk a little bit of fantasy. Dara, your team plays in game week 29. We know that confirmed. You obviously played my team, Tottenham, in that week. But it feels like you're being ignored. Is that right?
I can see why, because there's other flashier players that, you know, you could bring in now. I think people could, closer to the game week 29, they might have a look at it, but there's other players that they're probably looking to bring in now, your Solankes or whoever else. I don't know. I'm considering a couple, but I haven't quite made my mind up just yet. I've got a few injuries that I need to, and a few blanks this week that I need to kind of, yeah.
All right. Tell us which ones are in your thoughts then. Andy Martin's waiting for you to say William with bated breath.
Absolutely not. No. I've got João Pedro injured, so I might go Muniz potentially.
So you think just to hold that thought for a moment, you think it's possible then that he could hold this spot up till game week 29?
Potentially. I think Jimenez is out for a month. Yep. So there's only one other person competing with him.
He'll certainly get minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is, I don't necessarily need him for the other games. It'll kind of be that one. I might rotate him in if I absolutely have to, but it allows me then to pump more money into different areas of the pitch.
The problem for Muniz, I think, I'm asking myself, let's just, you know, hypothetically, Breuer was out for the month as well. And you looked at it and you went, it's a clear run. He's enabling forward, dirt cheap price. What's he, 4-4-4 at the moment? What's he, 4-3 or something, Dara? So he's in decent form, but he suffers with the same problem that Gary's forward. Rasmus Højlund's obviously doing really well now as well. But the problem is, it's like this little convergence going off forward of Watkins, Solanke's double 28, Højlund speaks for himself. A lot of people want Tony in 29 as well. Those four feel like they're in the running because Højlund doesn't play in 29 as it stands. That's probably going to get overlooked. And I think also, Dara, for Muniz, it's like most people don't need the money.
Yeah,
at the moment, so you don't need to. If it was a case we look, Salah's playing in 29, I need to force him in with Højlund, then he becomes more useful. I don't think people need the money at the moment, to be honest.
No, well, with Salah, Haaland, and Son away, and all these players, like people have kind of spread it around and mixed up the teams, and yeah, I think the template's very different to what it was. I don't know. I didn't have a lot of money in the bank. I didn't have a lot of these players early, so for me, it might come in handy somewhere down the road. I don't know. It's just I haven't quite made my mind up on that one. I need to get rid of Jota as well, by the looks of things. So we'll see.
Is one of your midfielders under consideration for that spot then? And if so, which one?
No, I don't think there is. If I was to possibly look at somebody else, it might be Anthony Robinson. I think just assist potential there is probably the best of the bunch.
There'll be people going into this week as well. We've perhaps still got Trent or got Pedro Porro injured, for example, at the moment. Obviously, no fixture. Doughty, no fixture this week, for example. You think Robinson, he feels like the only one at the moment I could look at and say it would almost definitely play.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say that. A lot of our, especially when Willian's there, that everything seems to come down that left hand side, and he's just bombing on. He's getting crosses in all over the place. So
why upset Andy? Why would Willian be of no consideration for you at the moment?
I'm not saying he's not of no consideration, but he's got the same number of goals as Muniz has for Fulham. So that, and with limited minutes, so that'll tell you something.
Okay. about a returning Harry Wilson?
Oh, I don't know. There's a lot of competition for places now. Adama came on as well, so.
And should have scored. Of course he didn't.
Yeah, I know. Look, we'll see. I'm not sure. Harry Wilson was just starting to kind of click in. He seems to just keep on getting setbacks. And yeah, there's a lot of competition for places now.
Leno in goal? I suppose you need to have the goalkeeper problem to be looking at that. And
I've had him for quite some time and I've just rotated my keepers. So it's fine. He's not really taking over the points of late, which is...
No, just having a look. Since you beat West Ham in game week 16, so that's what, 9 games ago, 20 points.
He's not even picking up saves. Not the number of saves he was at the start of the season.
Is there any alarm about that? Because I think a lot of people felt he set and forget in goal. Should people be looking at the opposite then and potentially selling?
It has crossed my mind, yeah. But I haven't pulled the trigger just yet.
Gary won't be recommending Onana, will you, Gary?
No, I think he's a bit too much, too expensive, isn't he? And if you don't know he's playing in 29, then yeah, it makes him difficult to everyone come back to if we get a double later on.
This is obviously the joint highest scoring goalkeeper in FPL at the moment, Andre Onana, for clarification.
Yeah, no, he's
at time of recording. If Pickford's got sent off against Palace, he's got more, mate.
Yeah. But you don't know when you're when would you be able to play him. I mean, you wouldn't want to play him against City. He might not be available in 29. So it just becomes an awkward one, doesn't it? And I think you could spend your money out better elsewhere, couldn't you?
Where do you stand on Hoyland at the moment? Because I think a lot of us would like to look at this now. His form's obviously great, but it's the other forwards is blocking it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'd looked at buying him in this weekend gone, but probably a mistake that we're probably all thinking about at the minute is you just get so obsessed with blanks and doubles and, you know, and obviously we've all, not all of us, some of you know, you sold Saka and went back to him. You do all these stupid stuff, don't you, around blanks and doubles. And this might be another one, Hoyland, where you go, oh, I can't buy Hoyland because he might blank in 29 and blah, blah, blah. And before you know it, he might have Fulham, Everton, Sheffield United at home in the next 4 weeks. And we're all sat there going, oh, I might want to, you know, Luton striker
and Brentford away on the other side as well. He's not terrible.
So it just, but you've just said, you know, we probably all want Solanke now-ish if you haven't already got him. Watkins is probably going nowhere for a lot of people. Haaland, you know, Tony.
And you look at 29, teams. You think I want Tony for 29. Yeah.
Yeah. You might already have Tony in now.
If you've got if you're going three strikers, then you can only go four mids. So
I think most are on three forwards though at the moment. Though it feels like because of what you said, Dara, the spread of the money, that might be why you've got someone like Munez more in mind. Like, who's your third forward at the moment?
It's Joe Pedro.
Yeah, you said he's obviously out injured.
I had three forwards for a long time, and I tried to move away from it to go to the two. And that would just, if I went for a Muniz, that would just free up even more funds again.
So anyway, help everyone out, Gary. Are you going to win at Forest in a cup or not? Because, you know, people want to know, mate.
This is what I'm saying. We would probably, you know, I could see us Saturday, you know, Fulham missing their best player. That'll be another comfortable 3-0. And we'll be like, oh, United are flying now. And then, like we did on, Wallop. Was it Boxing Day we played them or New Year's Day?
Yeah, it was such an awful game as well, mate.
Yeah, you know, and we'd just beaten Aston Villa 3-2 in that amazing comeback win. And it was like, oh, and Hoyland had got his first goal. And then Hoyland was injured and we were dreadful and got beat 2-1. And you go, where's, you know. So you would like to think that the way they're playing, the way it's going at the minute, that Forest away, but you won't want to put a lot of money on it, would
which
you?
Which is why I bought Dallow last week.
Yeah, no,
was
yeah.
To hedge my bets against Alfie Doughty for game week 29. Did I buy the best United defensive asset of the choice, bearing in mind that money was irrelevant for me.
Yeah, how much? What's Dallow for? 4-9
I think 5-1 actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So 0.9 more than Maguire, isn't it? I think they're the only two you can consider. Shaw, he's probably too expensive. Injury doubt. You know, got to be serious injury doubts on him now. That's two matches in a row he's limped out of at half time. Varane, neither now nor summer, is he price wise? So I think, yeah, if money's no object to people, then I think then you have bought the best one. Yeah. For all I've just said about Maguire, if he's 4.2 and he allows you to get something else, you know, for another doubler or another blanker or et cetera, then it's not the end of the world.
It's worth saying, I mean, should Maguire owners be concerned? Because I actually thought Johnny Evans played really well when he came on Sunday.
Yeah, he did. He did play really well. And obviously, Ten Hag really fancied Evans pre-Christmas, but that was playing with Maguire. So whether he would play him and Varane together by choice, we haven't seen that as of yet. So maybe you know, Lindelof will be around the team as well. So yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think you can only go to Maguire if you want to take a gamble, and because him being there at 4-2 allows you to get your Solanke in, or, you know, change Darwin to Tony, or, you know, whatever the maths are, you know. So if it allows you to do other stuff, otherwise, I think, like you say, you just go to Dallow and forget about it.
The best asset to get hold of if you want one, though, at the moment, is Garnacho, isn't it?
Yeah, because
in terms of pound for pound for value.
Yeah, and he's one where you'll never, if it gets the City away or it gets the blank and we are blanking, you don't care if he's on your bench. You don't feel like you've tied, you know, if you get a Hoyland in, or you even your Dallow, you might think, oh, do you really want to bench 5 million quid defender and, you know, things like that? So you wouldn't want to bench a Hoyland either. Whereas Garnacho, leaving on the bench, because he's really coming along this season. The more he plays,
he should have hauled on Sunday as well.
He's still frustrating, but he's you know, he's only young. I think that's what I, you know, not so much as a fantasy player, but just as an actual player. He's a 19-year-old, you know, winger, wide forward. That's what they all do. You know, there's none of them get 20 a season when they're that age, do they really? You know, unless they're an absolute
interesting superstar. Me and Clayton had a discussion on Monday's pod about really keeping an eye on him, even if you don't want to buy him now, because if he doesn't excel over this period, he might start next season at sort of 6 million-ish, judging by Rashford dropping to, what, 6.5 the other year. And actually, he might be really interesting, even at a higher price next season than what he is now.
I think he really will be, because, and look, I'm not comparing him to Saka at all. He's nowhere near that level and possibly never will get up there. But if you look at what Saka's numbers were 3 years ago when he was 19, he was only getting 5 goals, 5 assists a season. Now, I appreciate he played left back a bit and things like that. And it only takes a bit of patience and a bit of management. And, these players, you go, oh, they're frustrating, they never get there. We saw it with Ronaldo, and obviously not going to be a Cristiano Ronaldo, but they go from 5 a season, 6 a season, you go, oh, he's never, at 19, and before you know it, 20, 22, 23, that can become 10s, 15s, 20s a season. Now, he's got that journey to do. You know, he's got to prove that he can do that. But, you know, that's what a lot of these, Martinelli would be the same at Arsenal, wouldn't he?
I think I just had a power cut. That's amazing. Can you hear me, gents? And explain to everyone that I had a power cut, which is why we dipped out there, unfortunately. Gary, you were saying Garnacho is getting near Saka's potential output.
Yeah, so yeah, he's not. Look, he's got a long, long way to go to do what Saka is, and he maybe never will get there. My point was that 3 years ago, when Saka was this kind of Garnacho's age now, he was only getting 5 goals, 5 assists a season, which is kind of where Garnacho's at now. And you just got these young, wide forwards. You've got to stay patient with them, and you've got to play them week in, week out, because if you don't, you just ruin any potential, any rhythm they can get. And that's, if you do it and they are of that level, then you can reap the benefits and you get those kind of Saka, you turn into a Saka or a Martinelli or some of the players have even been even better than those. So I'm not saying he's going to get to a Saka level, but we're never going to know if you only give him reduced minutes and things like that. We've seen what he can do, that he can be a match winner for us, the Villa game, the Everton goal, things like that. So there's obviously something there. You've got to give these players a chance. Otherwise, you ruin them and they don't become anything.
With that in mind, quick question.
Yeah.
Fernandes is 8.2. Rashford is 8.4. Garnacho is 5.
Mm. Yeah.
If they were all 8 million.
Yeah.
Which one would you buy?
I'd buy Garnacho.
Wow.
Because you know, I think he's, well, I don't know. He's probably already scored. Has he got more goals than the other two anyway in the league?
Be close to. Quite possibly. Garnacho's on 8 attacking returns in FPL, 5 and 3. Fernandes is on 3 and 5, so the same. And Marcus Rashford is 5 and 3, the same. So they've all got 8 attacking returns.
Yeah, all right. But so there's not a lot in it then. I just think Garnacho looks more involved. And I think I don't know. I just think maybe it's a bit of bias in me because I've really liked him for 18 months, 2 years now, and I'm just glad that he finally looks like he's getting a run of games. So maybe that's it. But Fernandes looks to be, I don't know, his numbers creation wise still look pretty good. I think he's still got a third XA in the league and things like that. But just something not right. Feels like he has to play deeper a bit more now because Casemiro's legs have gone and McTominay's in the team a bit more and Rashford's struggles are obviously we've spoken about quite a lot, so no point rehashing them, but they don't look over yet. So yeah, I think if they're all the same, I think I'd probably gamble on a Garnacho, and given that he's 3 million cheaper, then it makes it an absolute no-brainer.
When you piss it up the wall at Nottingham Forest next midweek,
yeah,
and you end up playing in game week 29 at home to Sheffield United, and everyone's gone, oh my God, shit, I want 3 of them for that on a free hit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which 3?
Because
you would go 3 if you were 3 hitting that week under that circumstance, surely.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. Especially if there's only 4 fixtures on, say, or even if there's, well, even if there's 5, you definitely still have 3 United, yeah, I think, wouldn't you? I think there's always a sense to try and spend the money, isn't there, on a free hit? But given that there's still been the likes of Son that you might want to fit in and Tony and whoever, so I think I wouldn't bother about spending the money. I'd go Dalot, Garnacho, Hoyland.
That's incredible, mate. Dara, reaction to that he wouldn't go Rashford or Fernandes under that circumstance?
I don't think I'd go Rashford. I might consider Fernandes. But it would just depend on his form leading up to that. He's just been very inconsistent. I don't know if I have the faith in it. So, yeah, if I did need to put the money somewhere else, I mean, you're not worried about money in a free hit, really, are you? With minimal teams where all the big ones are.
You'd still need Son, Watkins, Tony, wouldn't you? Well,
Son, Watkins, Tony. It's not like Haaland, Salah. And yeah. Dara, to jump in, would free hitters in 29, do they have to have Son against your team?
I think people would target that game. You'd have to. You'd go.
Is that the right thing? Most people are saying now that they want free Tottenham in 29. What do you think of that?
It makes sense to me. Whether it materializes or not. I mean, look at this game week or the stuff game week already. Everyone's like piled in and it's not quite been what we thought it would be.
Perhaps a more interesting question then. If we work on Tottenham playing the front three that played at the weekend, which is probably the, you know, Son left, Richarlison through the middle, Kulusevski on the right, and then obviously Maddison behind that. Which Tottenham player would you be most worried about in game week 29? Just from a general perspective in terms of damaging your team rather than the FPL perspective?
I think if Maddison gets back into form, I'd probably be more worried about him. The away game that we played, he absolutely just bossed it.
He was good. But he wasn't good. He wasn't good at the weekend, I must add to that.
Yeah, I heard that. But yeah, I think if he starts clicking back into gear, that'd be the one. I think he could pick us apart.
If you were free hitting in game week 29, which players do you think you would pick from the Fulham Tottenham game? Oh my God, you are kidding. Oh, Jesus, Rice and God. All right, try again after the second power cut. If this keeps going, you might have won on Saturday, Dara, by the time we get through the end of this, unbelievably. Right, you were saying, I think, which Fulham or Tottenham players you would go if you were going to free hit in 29?
How many have I got to choose from? Or does it matter?
Just well, you could pick six in theory, couldn't you?
Yeah, I did kind of ramble on a little bit. The pair of us went back and forth while you were trying to sort out the internet. But yeah, I think I'd lean more in the Tottenham camp than I would in the Fulham camp. Yeah, your Sons and your Madisons and what have you. I think there's more chance of them hauling and hitting double figures than there is of Fulham players doing that.
I don't know. Have you seen the chances we give up, mate?
And probably the same would go for the United players. Like you're probably not going to get the big hauls from them. It's possible, but I think just your Son's like an explosive kind of player that you just never know.
Yeah.
Day he can turn it on.
I feel like with Sonny, he was the one I said, I was kind of reluctant about it, but I said he's probably the one at the moment because I think he that whole potential is there and he'd probably be sick if you avoided him and he went off, I think. He's the capability.
Won't be an option either, so
nah, it won't be. Right, I'm off to put 50p in the meter and let you guys go. Thank you both so much for your patience. Let's do correct
you should have started with the. You should have started with the light off and switched it back on again.
Maybe, yeah. let's do correct score predictions before we finish. It's been fun. Go on, Gary.
I'll say 2-0 to Manchester United.
Plain shake.
Yeah.
Onana, top scoring goalkeeper, yeah.
Dara?
I'll say a fun. I'll go Desmond.
Good lad.
I think there'll be a few goals.
I think that Paulinho miss.
Yeah,
that's the thing that swung it for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm inclined to say the same as Gary. I'm interested to see Dara in a conclusion of this season though, because your home fixtures are quite tough and your away fixtures after United get better. If we'll see some sort of flip here, you'll start winning away from home regularly and your home performances may suffer. I think it's a big summer for you because I think the age of the squad is potentially becoming a little bit of a problem as well.
Yeah, I mean, Willian could be gone. There's a few that are getting on a bit. Yeah, I mean, I was actually thinking just the away form, it could have just been the case. There's 10 goals that we, or sorry, 10 games that we haven't scored in this season. We've not scored in games more frequently than any other team. So I think the chopping and changing up front and not quite having a consistent first choice striker for some time probably has in some way led to that. But yeah.
With that in mind, Gary, just quickly, if someone was free hitting this week, which I guess there will be some, same players for you, Dalot, Hoyland, Garnacho, same free?
Yeah, off the top of my head, it's a bit difficult. I don't know what, if you need money more this week, you probably would need
a little bit more maybe because of Hoyland.
You still want Haaland and a bit of, you know, whatever else is
Saka's
going on.
Saka's on that.
Saka and Odegaard and... You know, whatever, yeah. So I think, yeah. So I think, given that this week you definitely need more money this week to free it than in 29, then I think you're definitely looking to save on United 3. Yeah.
Would you go for it? Do you think?
Probably. I'd have to look. I mean, you'd want 3 Wolves, wouldn't you? You'd want Haaland. You'd probably want a couple of Arsenal against Newcastle. Maybe 3. So I can't quite work out the maths on the spot.
Villa at home to Forest, Brighton at home to Everton.
Yeah, so I don't know if you'd need 3, but if you're going to free it, you should have a strong bench as well, shouldn't you? So at least have 3.
You're going to free it, you may as well roll the dice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So even if you've got Dalot first bench or Garnacho first bench and Odegaard gets a rest or whatever, then at least you've got something good coming in. So I think you need three in the 15. Whether you'd actually start all three, I don't know.
I think you're probably right. Guys, thank you both so much. Gary, anything you want to plug before you finish?
No, thank you.
Good stuff. Dara, anything for you, mate?
Nah, not for me. Thanks.
Super. So you'll be back with me for the Sky Fantasy Football podcast tomorrow and on next week's Clash of the Correspondents. Fulham's game week 29 opponents feature Ricky Saunders of Tottenham Hotspur. We're drawing Rory McLaughlin-Dowd, our Crystal Palace correspondent, to preview Tottenham and Crystal Palace. We've obviously interest in Tottenham assets ahead of 29. And of course, Palace have a confirmed new manager in Oliver Glasner. That sees me to say thanks again so much to Gary and to Dara. Good luck this week, gents. Cue music, please, man child. Quick, before it goes again.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.